Vreau să stați ridicați doar pentru câteva secunde, pentru că vreau să dau citire cuvântului în această seară. Just want you to remain standing for a few more seconds, if you don't mind. We're going to be reading the Word of God tonight. And that word is going to be found in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. You can open up your Bibles if you want to put the scripture. I'm going to be reading from the King James version of the Bible tonight. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Amen. You may be seated. Simona mi-a zis să am grijă ce vorbesc, să nu vorbesc despre mâncare, că am intrat un pic în probleme cu ea în dimineața asta când am zis de zacuscă. Zic, cum ai putut să mergi să le ceri la frați cozonac cu mac? Păi cum? Eu nu-ți fac acasă cozonac cu mac. Nu-ți place cozonacul meu cu mac? Dar am plecat de aici cu doi cozonaci. Deci slavă Domnului! Cine v-a pus pe inimă să faceți cozonaci, mergeți înainte cu Domnul, că sunt buni cozonacii, mai ales acum de Crăciun. Și Domnul să vă binecuvinteze pe toți. I was asked by some of the older people in the church, and God bless them. God bless all the gray hairs in the church. Amen. I'm also getting a little bit gray hair, so soon enough. They said, please, some of your points, if you can throw out some Romanian in there, in and out burger, we could do that. And I said, that's fine. We'll throw in some Romanian. And some of the big points we'll share in Romanian, so that nobody will get lost or feel like they have to be translated to and things like that. So praise God. I'm also happy to see my friend and neighbor Nick Ruiz here tonight. Nick, would you stand up for the first time in our church? So Nick has a very powerful testimony of how God saved him from death, basically. And hopefully one day you get to come and share it with the youth. I would love for you to come and share your story and how God worked in your life or with the church as well. So we're very happy to have you tonight. God bless you. So tonight I'm going to talk about this guy, Naaman. And să vorbesc puțin despre Naaman. Și Domnul i-a pus cuvântul ăsta pe inimă de câteva săptămâni, mă tot gândesc la el și mă gândesc la acest om, acest lepros, Naaman. Vedeți, Sfânta Scriptură, the Bible is filled with prophets and kings and all sorts of characters, leaders of God, but today is a special kind of character that we're introduced to. It's a captain, a general, and we get to go inside his private life and to see what is there. And it's interesting, this Naaman, this great honorable man in the eyes of his master. He was covered in armor. He was covered in armor. But beneath the armor, he was hiding a secret. And I'm thinking tonight, how much better would we know you if we saw you without your armor? How much better would we know you if you weren't wearing your armor tonight? He climbed to the pinnacle of success with his sword. He earned his title. He earned the respect of his peers. He earned the respect of his entire nation. He earned the respect of the king of Syria. The king of Syria was indebted to him. Împăratul sirienilor era dator acestui capitan viteaz. It was by his hand that the Lord humbled the Israelites, and by his arrow that the king of Israel, the king Ahab, fell to his death. He paid his dues. He had the favor of the king. The king was in, had named him commander of the armies, the captain of the hosts. Boys idealized him when he walked down the street. There goes Naaman the Great. Naaman the Great. Women revered him. The men respected him. Naaman had become a popular name to name your child in Syria, probably. Let's name him Naaman, like the great hero of Syria, right? The great captain had a secret problem, but Naaman was a leper. Naaman era lepros, undetectable by the masses, but yet relevant in his life, a leader, but a leper. In front, but a leper. Preaching, but a leper. Leading worship, but a leper. I'm wondering this evening, we all look so good. We smell so nice. Your clothes are all matching. They look like Christmas. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas tonight. People dressed in green and I wonder tonight, with all the beautiful things, what are we hiding beneath the armor? He came home to things, to deal with things he didn't, no one knew about. Venea Naaman acasă, la o viață ascunsă, să se luptă cu lucruri de care nimeni altcineva nu știa. The people you work with, the people you go to school with, the people you worship with have no idea what you're going through. Isn't that so sad? There are people in this room right now that no one knows what you're going through. You've not told anyone. You haven't even told the pastors. And you're dealing with it on your own in secret. Oh, I don't want anyone to know. If people find out that I'm a leper, I will lose my position. I will lose respect. How can they know that I... Do you know what they do to lepers? Știți ce fac cu leproșii? Îi aruncă în afara cetății. Izolează. Nu ai voie să atingi un lepros. Dacă ai atins un lepros, if you touch the leper, what happens? You get the leprosy too. Imagine. See, the thing about it is the stress of hiding it, I think, was probably bigger than the leprosy itself. Imagine Naaman going to the king's court, and I'm sure he was invited to go to the king's court. Imagine people wanting to shake his hand, and he would never extend his hand to them. You can never touch a leper. I don't want anyone to touch me. Don't touch me. The kids are good at this, right? I have one of the biggest pet peeves of our kids. You know, Elias is turning 9 in just a few days, and then Annabelle is 12. And don't touch me. He touched me. What happened? I'm driving, and you know, I'm trying not to turn around, and he touched me. He touched me. What happened? What's going on back there? You can't touch, don't touch me. It's how many people still behave like that? Don't touch me. Don't get close to me, to my problems. I want to deal with it on my own. I want nobody to know. How many people tonight are dealing with a secret problem? I want to talk to you tonight. If you're dealing with a secret problem, the Lord has a word for you tonight. Dacă ai o problemă secretă cu care te lupți, Domnul are un cuvânt pentru tine în această seară. Amin? See, God is awesome. I don't need a God who only shines my armor and makes me look good in public. I want a God who helps me fight the problems behind closed door, the things that I'm dealing with behind the closed doors, for which I have no power over. That's the God I want in my life. Power over there, no power, right? How can I be so great over here and be completely powerless over there? How can I give good advice to so many people, but yet I cannot even solve my own disease, my own problem? If Naaman knew, if Naaman would tell about his leprosy, they would lose, they would throw him out of the army, not just out of the army, they would throw him out of the city. He would lose his power, his status, his economic perspective. But oh, how the Syrians adored him. There goes Naaman. Naaman was a mighty man. Naaman was a hero, Yerawanero, the kind of man that has streets named after him. If they made pictures of him, he would be on every wall. He would be an influencer on social media, if you will. Naaman was famous. Naaman was popular. But Naaman was a leper. He survived the nostrils of his commanders and his comrades, the eyes of his bosses. But when he got home, he revealed who he really was. He revealed that under his shiny armor and under his brass boots, I am as vulnerable as the people I lead. How many people are leaders here tonight? And I know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're a leader at your work, you're a leader at your school, you're a leader in your department at church, and you go home at night. And when you strip yourself of all of the show and all of the things that you put on to look good and to look like you have it all together, you realize that you're just as vulnerable as them. You're just as vulnerable as them. He didn't mind taking off his armor when he got home because the only person who would see him was a little slave. A little slave. A little Israelite maid I picked up when I was fighting against the Israelites, the kingdom of Israel. I took her captive. Josephus, the historian, says that it was probably because of this slave that Naaman took captive, her captivity, that God cursed them, possibly cursed them with this leprosy. He didn't mind that she saw, because who was she anyways? Right? Era un nimenea, această fetiță, this little maid. O nimenea. She had no money. She had no power. She had no status. She had no prestige. She had no recognition. She had no country. And she was a girl on top of that. This is the word in Naaman society, that was the worst position you could be in. A slave and a woman, away from your country, away from your family. Sure, you can see my leprosy, because who are you anyways? You're nobody. It's fine. Never did he understand that despite of how society sees you, in God's eyes, you're bigger. And I can't imagine Naaman coming home and he's taking off his armor and the little maid sees him. You know, at first, when she came into the house, maybe she said she saw this powerful, rich, famous general and she said, I wish I could be like you. I wish I could have the freedom that you have to move about when I want, to order people around. secretly in his mind Naaman was saying when he was looking at her skin. Beautiful, white skin, nothing, no blemishes. And he says in his mind, I wish I could be like you. You see, he's going and he's taking off his armor and she's singing the songs of Israel in her private little room, the hole in the wall that he made for the servant, the little maid. She wasn't even a maid among maids. She was the little maid. The Bible doesn't even give her a name. The little maid. Right there in that, where's the little maid? She's over there in that corner. Call the little maid. What's her name? Call her over. Come on, little maid, hurry up. We got to fix dinner. The general is coming home. Hurry up. You're always slow. He's going to kick you out. He's going to sell you away to someone else. You want to be with Naaman? This is the best house to be in. The little maid is in her room, and as Naaman is taking off his armor, he's hearing the song of Israel. He's singing a song. Maybe, I don't know. In the shadow of your wings, I sing to you. You are all my heart desires. You're all I want. And she's singing slow so she wouldn't make a big noise. And he's hearing the song. And he's coming and he's asking her, what is this song that you're singing? I like that song. It was good. Yesterday we were with the worship team at a church in Montclair. We had a wonderful time there. God really used the worship team in an amazing way. And it was beautiful to see our young people minister to these high school students that were coming from all over the area. Acești elevi de liceu la care tinerii noștri au cântat și s-au bucurat foarte mult de prezența Domnului acolo. And there was a girl from a high school, and she said that when she was at work, she would sing a song of praise, and the people around her would say, instead of telling her to stop or to you know that she was going to get fired for doing it, the people would say, keep singing. There's something I like that. I like when you sing. I like to hear you sing. You know, next time you get the urge to sing a song, and you think it's weird because you're at work and people are going to think that you're some crazy, you know, right, alt-right Christian that, you know, went nuts or something, and just let it go. Because you never know. You never know who you touch with your song. And there's some, and not only you never know, but the power of God in that. There's power in that. You see, in her own way, the little maid had more power than Naaman. Această servitoare avea mai multă putere decât Naaman. Because you see, Naaman had become great because of what he did. But she became great because of who she knew. It's who you know. It's who you know. And you know the most powerful, amazing God, a real God that you serve. That's your connection. She had an amazing connection. She knew somebody. She knew somebody who could bring about the change. She had every right to be bitter. Putea să, era plină de amărăciune, putea să lase să moară. She could just let him rot, right? He deserves it. He killed my people. He killed her people. He went in Israel and chopped their heads out. He killed them like ISIS. He put them in a row and he chopped them off. Do you understand? That's who he was. That's what he did. She could have said, this is the hand of God. Let him rot. I'm going to sit here and watch you rot. And I'm going to praise God for it. That's the choice she had. She could sit there and watch him rot right before her eyes. Or she could do something. that would bring about change, that would bring about a mighty revival. Because she knew somebody. She knew someone. See, the real test of character is what you do with power. Not what you do with weakness, because weakness, it has no options. The real test of character is what you do when you have all the advantage. Who would have thought that the commander of the armies of Syria would be at the mercy of a little maid? But that's how God had it all set up. Because in God's eyes, she was little on the outside, but she was big on the inside. I want to talk to all the little people for a second. All you big people out there, was going to chill out for a second. I'm going to talk to the little people. You feel small sometimes. You feel little sometimes. You feel insignificant sometimes, even in the church. But I'll tell you something here tonight. God is big in you. And if you allow him to be bigger than you, then it will no longer be about you and how little you are. It will be about him and how big he is. Amen? So the number one thing, I just want to look at two things tonight. Two truths, in a way, that I like about this setup. The first thing is that the cure for Naaman's illness is in his house. It's in his house. It's in your house. You know, turn to the neighbor next to you and just say, it's in your house. In casa ta. Țineți minte când în Biblie este vorba de o femeie care și-a pierdut o monedă și căuta peste tot și unde era moneda? În casă. It's in your house. The solution to the crisis, the cure to the problem is in the house. How many times do we send people outside of the house? We're saying, you know, we're so good at giving advice. Go to see someone. Go to see a specialist. You need a therapist, right? You need a family counselor. You need a psychologist. You need somebody. You need a professional to look at you. We're so eager to send people away. But the cure is in the house. You know, Father, if you're in this house tonight and you're wondering, how am I going to solve the problem of my marriage or the problem of my, how am I going to get my children to listen to me and obey and respect me? The solution is not out there. It's in the house. In the house. The cure to the problem is in the house. When you get sick, it's in the house. There you have the best prayer team that you could ever ask for. And sure, there's a great prayer team at church, and God blessed them for it. And they're an amazing, powerful force. You're going to come here, you want to get prayed over, they'll pray for you until 3 o'clock in the morning, nonstop. Believe me, I've been there, I've seen it, okay? They will pray for you. They'll pray for you, and they will pray for you for weeks, and they'll pray for you, they'll fast for you. But the cure is in the house. It's in your house. You know, I didn't really get to know this. We grew up in a culture, in the Romanian culture. Something bad happens, or you have to make a decision. What was the first thing you do? Let's look at our phone and see cât proroci avem de pe telefon. Oh, îl avem pe fratele ăsta, pe sora aia. Hai să vedem pe cine sunăm. Dar sună pe mămica în Valea lui Mihai, că poate ea știe pe cineva într-un munte acolo să sune, să nu știe nimeni. You know, we look for people. We look for phone numbers. We call the prophets and We run outside. We learned this lesson when Sienna was born, our youngest. When she was born, at 3 months old, she got pneumonia. Maybe some of you remember. She had pneumonia, and it was terrible to watch this small little baby, this small little tiny body, go through all that suffering. We were with Simona at the ER, and the doctors were telling us her oxygen level is going down, and it's going down below 90, and then it's going down towards the 80s, and then we were thinking, and then they said, well, what happens when the oxygen goes down so low? And they said, well, she could go into some sort of shock, and she could start having seizures, and then, you know, we don't want her to have that, and And they said, well, you guys need to, we were starting to get panicked, and they kicked us out of the room, and they said, just stay out there, and we're going to hook her up to all these machines. And there she was, and they were putting tubes down her nose, and she was screaming, and we were watching her helpless. And we were outside looking through the window, and then I turned to Simona, and I grabbed her hand, and I said, let's just start praying. And we were looking at her, and we were grabbing our hand. And then as we were praying, we were looking at the oxygen level go up. Now, we sent a message because it was Thursday night on the 19th, 9/19, September 19th. It was a Thursday night, and we sent a message. The people started praying, and Yara Ora 19/19, when the church was praying, when we received the message, the church was praying. And she came out of it. And she came out of it. It's in the house, people. It's in the house. It's here at Emmanuel. You know, when before Revive, I couldn't open my hands and people started praying. And I had this terrible attack. Demonic attack, really, because nobody can explain this neuropathy that was in my hands. It was in the house. I got a call from Fratele Lazar Gog at night. I was driving with Andrew, and Andrew can be a testimony to this. I couldn't even put my elbow on his car armrest. That's how bad my whole body was hurting. It was like shock. And Frater Lazaro Sonatro says, let me pray for you right now. Let me pray for you over the phone. I'm going to pray for you. Is that okay? I said, yes, please. He didn't know. But it was painful. And brothers here prayed in the parking lot. It's in the house. It's in the house. Reach out. It's in the house. Don't hide your problem. It's in the house. Come with your problem. De multe ori zicem că we behave as if the pastors, they have some sort of magic powers. They can read your email or your online, and they can look and see what's going on, and that they know what's going on with your problems. And somehow they should know. They should know, because if they don't know, then they're not good, and they don't se interesează de noi. But you need to come, because they're here. They're here in the pastoral office every day. You can come and meet with them. You can call them. You can go to their house. They'll pray for you. It's in the house. She was held captive by divine purpose. She was held captive by divine purpose. See, these are the problems that God brings in our lives for the purpose that he has with our lives. After the incident with Sienna, every time a child of ours gets sick, the first thing we do is we pray with the whole family. We learned, then de atunci am învățat, să mergem pe genunchi. De fiecare dată când vine o problemă, ca familie, că degeaba sunăm la proroci dacă familia nu se roagă. Amen. God's purpose. The problem serves a purpose. They snatched her up against her will, but it wasn't against God's will. It wasn't against God's will. So the question is he just your God in the good times, or is he your God when you are captive? See, Naaman and the girl find themselves in a similar position, because she was in a place that she couldn't get out of, and so was he. They're both trapped. Trouble brings together people that otherwise wouldn't be together. How many of you ever prayed with someone you never thought you would pray for or pray with? You know? But because trouble brings together people, it's amazing the commonality between Naaman and the girl. Is that they're both held captive by something. And as she watched him undress, she had a decision to make. Will I help the man who holds me captive, or will I sit back and let him die? But the problem with holding back is that if you hold back what you could do, God also holds back what he can do. How many people did you watch die? And you held back. How many people in this church did you watch die and you held back? I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty. I want to provoke you that next time you see an illness, a need, don't hold back. Don't let them go away into their own private life and let them suffer by themselves. Don't hold back. You know somebody. You know, you have a connection. And you can be merciful. And until you learn to be merciful, you'll never be mighty. It's probably the greatest test. It's easy to do that to the people that you love, the people that you like. But the test is, can I do that to the person I hate? Can I do that to the person that's holding me captive? Am I merciful enough to do that to the person who has done me wrong? She says, there is a prophet in Israel. In the shadow of your wings. She's singing and he's coming. There's a prophet in Israel, he tells her. This is the song of Israel. And you have to go there. But you have to understand, I killed those people. You have to be willing to go into the country that you just conquered. You have to be willing to deal with people you've been killing. And I'm so glad you didn't kill all of them, because there's one that has the answer. The real test, Naaman, the real test is, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Do you want it bad enough to leave the comforts of Syria, where you are, and go to Israel, where you're hated? So what happens is, there's a letter written. He goes to the king of Syria. He finally breaks the news to him, and he tells him his condition. He believes the girl. He goes to the king, and he says, give me a letter. In Naaman's mind, he's trying to solve this in diplomatic means. He's saying, from a king to a king. So he goes to the king, and the king gives him a letter. And this is, in a way, funny. It's the comedy of God and the comedy of errors of people. Naaman doesn't actually get the message right. But at the same time, you know, he's a very proud man. And he's very high up. And he can't just simply walk. He can't just cross the border into Israel. I mean, there's people that want to assassinate him in Israel. He can't just simply go. He has to go with a letter from the king. And the king writes him a letter. And he writes a letter to the king of Israel. And he says, I want you to heal this guy, basically. So he goes to the king of Israel. He gives him the letter. And there is a great uproar in Israel. Because now the king of Israel thinks that this is a declaration of war. That there's something going to happen. And you know what the king of Israel does? He stands up from his throne after he reads the letter, and he tears his clothes. His world is turned upside down. I can't heal you. I can't heal you. Naaman thinks that the king is going to somehow place hands on him. And there's a great lesson here, because what Naaman is looking for is not found in the palace. Ce caută Naaman nu este găsit la palat. Nu se găsește, nu se află la palat. And this is my second point and my final point. Your healing is in your humility. It's not at the palace. It's in your humility. And that's the constant message that God is trying to tell Naaman. The beautiful thing about the story to me, the most beautiful thing, is that everything happens around servants. It starts with the servant girl, right? And he tries to go, there's no answer at the kingdom, no answer at the palace. And then he goes to see Elisha. The king says, I know a man, there's Elisha hears about this. Send him to me. But it's interesting, Elisha doesn't go out to see him at all. So he goes to Elisha, and Elisha won't even come out of his hut. How low will you go? And the beginning of Naaman's story is, you must go lower. Mai jos, Naamane. Mai jos. Mai jos. Încă nu te-ai dus jos destul. Mai trebuie să mergi un pic mai jos. Mai jos. Whatever it takes. How many of you know that there are problems that will bring you down to your knees? There are problems that you will face, that you're facing right now, that if you haven't been brought down to your knees, they will bring you to your knees. How low are you willing? If your daughter gets sick, believe me, you're willing to go as low as you have to. Cu fața la pământ dacă trebuie. If your husband gets sick, you will scream from the top of your lungs and you will cry out to God. And there are problems in your life. If they haven't come, they will come. That you will be asked to go low all the way. Whatever it takes. And Naaman says, I'll go. And he goes and Elisha doesn't come out to see him. The prophet won't even come to the door. Does he know who I am? People wait for years to get an audience with me. And he won't even come down. Do you know that I just left your president? And I came here and you're telling me that this country preacher of yours won't even come out to see me, to say hi? What is going on? And he sends a servant. Elisha sends a servant and he sends him with this instruction. Go to the Jordan River and dip yourself into the Jordan River. How many times? Seven times. Elisha sends his servant. Humility is always the way to exaltation. That the person that exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. See, Naaman has to understand that the quickest way to go up is to go down. The quickest way to go up is to go down. And the real question for Naaman, and maybe the real question for you, is what is God really trying to get out of you? What is God trying to wash away? Perhaps the leprosy on the outside is just a reflection of what's eating him on the inside. Your pride stands in the way of your destiny. And that's the first thing that attacks Naaman. He says, the waters of Israel, apele Iordanului, mizeria Israelului, să mă duc să mă scald în nămolul izraeliților. În alte cuvinte, era un cuvânt în la țară, în România, în Pișalău. Așa am prins deja, care le știți. În Israelul, acolo să mă duc să mă bag? În murdăria Israelului? Into dirt to be clean. That's what Elisha tells him. Go into dirt to be clean. Lower. You got to go lower. How low are you willing to go? He humbled himself and became obedient. Who else did this? Who else humbled himself and became obedient? Jesus. So he goes to the Jordan and he dips himself once and he goes down sick and he comes up sick. Să uite la mâini, să vadă, e ceva, se întâmplă ceva, nimic. Merge încă o dată, a doua oară. Să bagă în nămolul Israelului, să bagă mai adânc. Poate trebuie să mă bag până la gât, poate trebuie să mă bag all the way. Îi strigă probabil de pe malul, strigă servitorii. Unii dintre ei poate că chiar se râd de el. Și uite cum a ajuns Naaman, the great. Uite cum a ajuns. Hai să-i facem o poză și să o punem pe Facebook. Uite cum a ajuns. Mai jos, mai în mocirlă. He went down again and again. He went down six times. But six is the number of man. And some of you here, and I want to close with this, are on your last dip. It's the end of the year. It's November, and you're on your last dip in the Jordan, and you don't know what's going to happen. If you're on your last dip, just know that six is the number of man, and there comes a seventh dip. The reason 2017 was difficult for you to get through was because the devil knew that you were on your last dip. The reason this year may have felt difficult for the church was because the devil knew that a breakthrough was going to happen in this church and that we were on our last dip. Amen? If you take one more dip tonight, that's all I'm asking you. I want to close with prayer because I think we need to pray for our secret problems. And I think tonight is a night where people can take one more dip with their problems, with their situations. This is the place right here. It's not as dirty as the Jordan River. But it's a good place to come and dip yourself in. And maybe you need to dip yourself in the embrace of a pastor, of a brother, of a sister. You see, the thing about Naaman, we could stop the message right now and we could say, okay, praise Jesus, one more dip, we'll dive in, we'll come out healed, it's good. But it was not about Naaman getting healed in the first place. See, the purpose was not for Naaman to get healed. But when he comes out of the water, he says with his own mouth, now I know there is a God in Israel. And I will worship the God of Israel. And now I will not just worship the God of Israel. I'm going to go to Syria. And I'm going to bring the God of Israel to Syria. And there is a revival that takes place in Syria. It was about him being exalted and not Naaman. There's some people you work with that will never come to your church, no matter how many languages you speak to in this church. There's some people that won't. You try and they'll never come here. There's some people you have influence over that will never believe in your God. And you try. But through the trials you've been through the situations that you've been through the sickness that you've been through the ups and downs you've been through, they will see the Lord. They will see Jesus. And God is going to use your deliverance to convince them. So I want us to stand tonight. And I want us to go before him in all humility. You see, the thing that Naaman wanted most of all was somebody to touch him. He went to the king of Israel and he said, touch me. Naaman, in his brain, in his mind's eye, he was seeing something of Christ. He knew that he had to be touched. And when we look in Mark chapter 2, the healing of the leper, Jesus does something, not just miraculous, but he does something that's completely unconventional. He touches the leper. And everybody steps back and everybody's like, wow, what did this guy just do? Now Jesus has leprosy. Naaman was looking for a touch, but the touch would only come in Jesus. And Jesus is here tonight. And he's here with his touch. And he can touch you.